Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The other actual football news going on yesterday with the Texans was that the Texans had OTAs, and we might as well use that as a great time to bring in our esteemed former beat writer for the Houston Chronicle, John McClain. John, how the hell are you?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
You were out there at OTAs yesterday as just a normal citizen, not a beat writer for the Chronicle anymore, just out enjoying the weather, right?
No, I'm working for Sports Radio 610 four times a week, and all my other talk shows, they ask me about the Texans, so I feel like I should be out there when they have their OTAs and they let the media come. And so, you know, it's the first one the media was allowed to watch. Basically, their first one was very light, as most of the start of OTAs are. And the only thing you can tell, you can't tell anything about linemen, but you can watch quarterbacks throw, receivers catch, DBs turn and run. And the rookies, of course, they're off to the side, and they got to come in, but not with the starters. And one of the things I know, you know, Titus Howard's a right tackle again where he should be. A.J. Cann is the right guard, and even though Lovie Smith wouldn't commit to any starters, it's clear to everybody out there, the right side of the offensive line is going to be those two, Justin Britt, the center, Kenyon Green's not. I kind of like it, and you guys played. I saw so many instances, not so many, a few where highly touted rookies who were like first-round picks would be inserted as starters immediately. And sometimes it was over veterans who had done a really good job for a team and might not have been as talented, but meant a lot from a leadership standpoint. And from that standpoint, I think it's good. Like, they didn't thrust Kenyon Green in there. He had a Max Sharping, a Charlie Heck move from right to left, since Laramie Tunsil wasn't there. But, you know, that's the area that's got to be the biggest improved, and we're not going to see those guys hit till they get to training camp.
You're listening to KILT and KILT HD2 in Odyssey Station. One of those rookies, John, I'm guessing that you asked Lovie Smith the question about Jalen Petrie. This is what Lovie Smith had to say about Jalen Petrie.
He's a sponge. He's picking up quickly. Very bright. Athletic, all those things, but he needs reps. All season work helps those guys so much. And that local flavor is good also.
Yeah, so Jalen Petrie, a Baylor grad just like you. Was that you that asked the question?
No, it was not. I didn't, because I figured somebody else would ask it, and I didn't want to be too obvious. I don't want to go out there every time. Well, how's Petrie today? And I know from watching his career that he'll impress the heck out of him. I'm told he already has behind the scenes with how he picks things up, how he goes about his business. He was always a great leader at Baylor, very smart, very on the field, instinctive, able to diagnose things. And I think that's one thing Lovie's going to really like about him once they start getting serious and giving him a chance to make plays.
This is the thing. I like the way they're handling these younger players, because – they're not crowning anybody. And as when you have veteran guys in the locker room, like John mentioned earlier about them not starting Kenyon Green from the jump, like, Kenyon Green is talented enough that he should be the starter by you know, game one. But you don't want to just put a young guy in a position where, okay, he's the starter off the bat, because you're dealing with veteran guys that you're trying to deal with chemistry issues. You're trying to bring guys into the fold, and you want everybody that becomes a starter to earn that role. You want them to go through the work, do the pay the dues, and then eventually you get to that spot. I think you listen to Lovie Smith talk about Jalen Petrie. He's like, hey, this is a talented guy. We like what he's doing, but he needs the reps. He needs to go out there and do the work, because that motivates those younger guys. It keeps them humble, but at the same time, it ingratiates him within the locker room and those veterans that are in there. It's like, this guy wasn't just given anything. He wasn't named the captain by the coaches. He was named the captain by his teammates. Like, those, there's a different connotation to that. So I think that when you hear Caserio talk about it, you hear Lovie Smith talk about a lot of these young, really talented players, they're doing everything they can to humble them. It reminds me of when you heard Nick Saban talking about that rat poison, where people are talking good about guys before games. They're saying all these great stuff about them, all that great stuff about it. People start believing that, and they don't go out there and do the work. They're trying to keep all the rat poison out the businesses, out the building as possible. So anytime somebody says something positive about a young player, they're going to be like, yeah, you know, but he got to do this. He has to do that. And I think that's a smart way to go about it, because twofold, because like I said, the veterans, and then also it keeps the young players humble and keeps them working hard to get to that spot where we all expect them to be, which is, you know, starters for this organization for years to come.
I think by the first game, you'll see the first three picks starting. And one of the main jobs of a position coach is to make sure those guys are focused on learning and not paying attention to what everybody is writing, saying, tweeting, putting out about them on social media, including fans, because a lot of players pay attention to that.
Yeah.
And they do it. They pay attention to it during games when they go into halftime. Like, some of them grab their phones, I'm told, and start looking to see what's being said about them. And I think this coaching staff, that's something that they will zero in on. But they know, and Nick Caserio knows, they drafted some talented guys that have a chance to help the team this season, and some right away.
John, Laremy Tunsil and Malik Collins were two of the notable veterans who did not participate. These are voluntary, technically, but what do you feel about those two guys? You know, let's say they have a more, I mean, they don't need a reason to not be there. But I would point out that both of them might have personal issues or something, but, Lovie Smith, as coaches do, says that it's no big deal, because they have to say that it's no big deal. Do you think it's actually a big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal when you have your same coaches back. Tunsil, now he's got a new offensive line coach in George Warhop, but Tunsil has been around the block a couple of times. Last season he didn't come back when everybody thought he could. And this season maybe that's the only one he misses. Maybe he shows up only for the mandatory mini camp. You know, that could have been the only one Malik Collins misses. I want to see, do they miss the first week? Do they miss all of them? You know, usually if you miss all of your OTAs, you're mad about money. Neither one of those guys mad about money. Collins just got a contract. Tunsil's got a big contract that they tweaked during the offseason. And they know, especially Collins, you know, did Lovie Smith talk any more positively last season about any defensive player than he did Malik Collins? There's no doubt in Collins' mind how much his head coach and his defensive coordinator loves him and needs him, and I would think that he would not be out very long.
You know, with Malik Collins, Wade and I talked about this earlier, he's a guy that's on a prove-it deal, and you'd think, and again, he might have personal reasons that he's not there right now, but you would think that that's the guy that should be, you know, Joe team, and like, I'm going to do everything the right way and give these guys every reason to give me a multi-year contract. That's why I was more surprised that Malik Collins wasn't there than Laremy Tunsil.
And maybe he will be. Maybe he just missed one and had a legitimate reason, but the coaches can't say a word about it.
Yeah.
Because then the union would squawk like crazy, and so they just have to, it's the old, I'm coaching the guys who are here. You know, can't worry about the guys who are not here.
Wade, were you there when were you on the team still, Wade, when Daryl Sharpton missed OTAs because he was going to be contractor on his own house?
No, that wasn't Sharpton.
I remember that.
That wasn't Sharpton. What was his name? Tim Dobbins. That was Tim Dobbins.
Oh, Tim Dobbins.
That wasn't Sharp. No, Sharp didn't. He didn't miss games. But, I mean, he didn't miss practice. But, yeah, Dobbins, and this is the thing. So, when that happened, I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot about that. When that happened, I was like, ain't no way he making the team. Like, there was no, like, there's certain guys that can miss, and there's certain reasons you can miss. and contracting your house and Tim Dobbins, those things didn't match of reasons why you can miss. Like, Tim Dobbins was a good special teams player.
Yeah.
He filled in admirably. I still can't say it right. But he filled in well for, I think maybe D'Amico got hurt one year and he filled in for him, or maybe it was Cushing. One of those guys got hurt and he filled in for those guys. But he wasn't a guy that could just miss, and especially not miss for getting your house done. And so once that happened, we were sitting in the locker room like, yeah, he ain't going to make it.
At least he was honest.
Sure, I mean, yeah, like, I would, you say at least he's honest. I would have been like, man, you gotta come up with something better than that, bro. If you're going to miss,
I forgot about old Dobbins.
What the hell was he thinking? Dobbins could have helped us.
That's a classic example that Casario was talking about when you say, like, okay, you got to realize, you know, do the math. Like, where is the greater amount of money to be made? It's in playing football. There's almost nothing you will ever do for the rest of your life. For the vast majority of NFL players, where they're going to make the same amount of money they do in football. So you see guys do this sometimes, though. They start thinking, like, oh, well, if I'm contractor on my own house, maybe I can save like $100,000 or $200,000. And you're like, yeah, or you could make the football team and like make $1 million. It's like the math is very basic. That was I'm glad that you were there to witness that, Wade. That's a cautionary tale for everybody.
Now everybody would want him to take pictures and send them back and show you guys the house that he contracted for.
Yeah, and I tell
you what, a nice house.
I never saw it. He didn't make it, so I've never heard from him again. But I would tell you this. Hopefully now he's like has his own construction business and he's making, you know, hundreds of thousands of millions of dollars off of that. Like if that was maybe his way of saying, hey, I kind of went out of this league. Hopefully that's the case. I'm going to think positively. But when that happened, I remember distinctly, you know, talking with like Myers and D Brown and be like, bro, what the hell is Dobbins thinking, dog? Like, you know, they're going to let him go because he's not here. You know, some guys can miss, some guys cannot. Laremy Tunsil can miss a couple days and nobody's going to trip. You know, Malik Collins, he can miss a couple days and nobody miss. But if he's missing days because, you know, I'm in what's the place out there with all the water? I can't even think of the words. The place out there with all the little
Bora
Bora. I'm out there in Bora Bora, you know, and I'm just out there chilling. That's a problem. But it's another thing that, if you are, you know, you have a family issue or there's something because you have something scheduled that you cannot change, this is a voluntary deal. But yeah, old Tim Dobbins, he was getting his house built, and we knew it was a wrap as soon as we heard that.
Hey, John, I'm going to spring this on you, but nobody's been covering the NFL longer than you, so I feel like nobody is better to tell us how to fix the Pro Bowl. We're going to do that version of Landry's a little bit, where you either hike your leg on these ideas or you approve of the ideas. Coming up next, John McClain fixes the Pro Bowl.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
John Pendergast is out. He's watching his daughter compete in cross country this weekend in the NCAAs. So we wish her good luck. We welcome John McClain in studio as we do every week. And John, Ian Rappaport reported the other day that the NFL is discussing the Pro Bowl and ways to improve it, including possibly just eliminating the game altogether and using that Sunday to showcase the players in it. What are your thoughts about the Pro Bowl even existing two or three seasons from now?
Well, the NFL actually makes money off of it, so they're not going to give it up unless they find a way to replace the revenue, even though it's minuscule in the whole scheme of things, but they do get money from television. So I used to go to the Pro Bowl. I went like 14 years in a row, 15 overall, and at one point it became more than a game. They were bringing current players out there. They had them doing appearances all week because they wanted fans coming and spending as much time in Honolulu as they could get. So there were more players over there, and a lot of coaches and front office people had been invited to come over there and participate in events. Harmless events. One was a beach football game, wasn't tackle, and I was talking to Peyton Manning on a sidewalk on the beach talking about his season, and we hear a scream. And then we look to the right, and we see all these people scrambling. New England running back Robert Edwards had blown out his knee, and he blew it out in such a way, they said the doctor not only saved his leg from being amputated, could have saved his life. And I remember they went over to these tables where they had drinks and hors d'oeuvres and everything laid out for the players participating in this, and they knocked it all on the ground, pulled the tables together, put him up there, and they also talked, had the ambulance been stuck in Honolulu traffic longer, it could have killed him. And I mean, we're just sitting, we walk over there and they're telling everybody, stay back. And Edwards, I thought that his career would be over, and he actually came back and I think rushed for 1,000 yards. But that was doing something that was totally harmless. So to me, you can't have volleyball or football of any kind. Maybe you have players doing different things where they mingle with fans, but you know they're going to have to get paid what they get paid to play in a game. You know, the game used to be where they hit a lot and they went all out. And when I wasn't there, I used to watch it until the last Oiler was done to make sure none got injured. Because if he did, you freak out. Then you try to track them down and track down their agent and people from the league to try to say what happened. And I made a joke, and I've done this before. At one point, they had a women's lingerie all-star game. And from a women's league. And I was thinking, how could you combine it with the men? Of course, they don't do that anymore.
Wait, this is the actual thing? What years was this?
And this was a lingerie all-star game.
It was maybe 10
years ago, something like that. Huh. Mark Rippon's daughter was a star.
They actually they were actually pretty good football players, if I remember correctly.
They came from a league, and I remember Mark Rippon's daughter got the most attention, but they'll find something for the NFL to do. And you know, when they quit going to Hawaii and Aloha Stadium, they tried to get them to build a new one. They threatened them, if you don't build a new one, we're not going to come there. Then they move it to Orlando. And back when players didn't make as much money as they do today, it was a big deal to get an all expense paid trip for you and your family to fly out first class and make money and spend a week in luxury, and that was before you were hounded by autograph seekers everywhere and had to have security. And then they took over a hotel in Coalina where there was so much security fans couldn't get there. Mm-hmm. But then when guys started making so much money, they can go to Hawaii anytime with their family. But at one point, it was something that players really looked forward to.
Well, Wade, I was going to ask you, too, because you participated in the Pro Bowl when you went. Because I know you went, because I can remember the picture of you wearing the lei and everything, right?
Yeah.
And the hula skirt.
Yeah, you weren't one of these people that skipped out on the Pro Bowl. Okay, I'm going to do this, and I'll let both of you answer, because both of you guys have actually been at and either played at or covered the Pro Bowl in person. The Athletic had five ideas for making the Pro Bowl awesome again. Let me tell me if any of these pass muster for you. So one, I'm guessing McClain's going to say no to this. I loved these back when they did them. The skill competitions. The remember Dan Marino throwing the football to the moving carts targets, Warren Sapp doing the incline bench press, all that stuff. I loved the skill competition stuff.
Yeah, that was fun. Like I remember watching that as a kid and thinking to myself, like, damn, Larry Allen has to be the strongest human being on the planet Earth. Like dude was lifting, you know, I think they did 275 or something like that for reps, and he did it like 40 times or something crazy like that. I was like,
that's what it was. It was an incline. It was an incline bench press, and it wasn't just 225. It was either 275 or 315.
Yeah.
And yeah, Larry Allen's just repping it like it's nothing. Yeah.
Yeah. To me, that's the safest option as far as it's something that's entertaining, but at the same time, guys really aren't going to get injured doing that. Like the quarterback deal, letting guys throw balls through little, you know, fake receiver hands and throw them into little, you know, through hoops and stuff like that. To me, I think that's entertaining to see the accuracy of it. But the actual game, like when you play in that game, you got to remember now, this is week 19, 20 of a season. So I remember playing in that game and being like, my body was shot. And you go there, and it's not like you got the normal stuff that you have at the Houston Texans facility or the Green Bay Packers facility where you get to you warm yourself up and all that type of stuff to get ready to play a game. You know, you're out there, and they got, like, local high school trainers taping your ankles.
Under a tent.
It's not a situation conducive for people going out there and going full speed and going hard. And so – to me, I think they need to do away with the game.
The practice fields are makeshift fields done outside a hotel.
And they're walkthroughs. They're glorified walkthroughs.
And then hit the golf course. I love the skills competition because players are competitive. You guys have that natural competitiveness. I think that would be great. I used to like to watch in the 70s the show Superstars, in which they bring in athletes to play different sports. They bring in actors and actresses to play sports, and they compete. And I love watching.
So and they still do this. They still do some skill competitions. It doesn't seem as many and as involved as it used to be. I'm going to combine one of the things that the Athletic said to do with the game itself with the skill competition, which is just this: that you should have prop bets on everything. Like prop bets the entire week on the skill competition, on various things within the Pro Bowl, like that. It, like you said, John, it already gets good ratings, but I feel like they could juice it up even more with all these little specific things.
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Yeah, anytime you get gambling involved, that's going to get interest, fantasy football, some kind of way, getting people involved in it that way. I think that would be good. What about this, Seth? And I don't know if this idea, if they put this out there in Athletic, because I don't see it in front of me right now. But what if they did an e-game? Like, you know, esports is like a new thing that they're that has been growing, and they can give out scholarships now for kids to play video games in colleges. But instead of them playing the actual game, they get like these professional e-teams to play the game, basically with the all-star team, the people that made the team, they put them in the game. And then you get a player or two that joins each one of a captain for each team that joins one of the e-teams, and they play against each other. And you
How
play
would
the game
that,
like that
translate to TV? Because it's got to be good
TV. Well, they have shows. They have TV shows that are on ESPN now where they literally watch people play video games, Twitch and all that.
Yeah.
Stuff. It's like it's a big, growing, booming business. And so instead of watching real people do it half speed, you're watching the video games do it full speed. And they're like professional
John, you're,
players.
Like, yeah, so John, it's not going for us, like as viewers, but it's actually a pretty big segment for younger people. That's, you know what? You're exactly right, Wade, because I'm guessing the people that wrote this article were probably our age or older. As far as like genuinely appealing to 19 and 20 year olds, like for the Twitch generation, that's probably a big focus of where they're going.
That's one thing they're trying to do is get those young people.
Yeah, John, this is I stopped trying to understand it. But yeah, there's a big appeal for young kids and just sitting and watching other people play in video games.
Let me ask y'all right quick, if you're playing and you know everybody's betting on everything, would that put more personal pressure on you knowing that to maybe go harder when you're trying to take it easy and relax and go with the flow?
You're talking about an actual game, or you're talking about a skills competition?
Whatever you're doing. With knowing people gambling.
That's literally the last thing on your mind.
Okay. It depends if my bookie's turning the screws on me that week, John. Am I going to tank it in the fourth quarter? I don't know. It all depends.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as – no, the only time I ever heard – Dom Capers was the only coach I ever had that like would routinely tell us the spread on Mondays before the game. And I think it was his way usually of – I think it was supposed to be a motivator. I think he was saying, like, oh, look, you're not favored. They think this, they think that. But that was the only time I ever, like, heard anything from gambling other than when the FBI came in every year at the beginning to tell you all the horror stories about what happens if you try to gamble on football. Do you remember that, Wade, when they come in and they tell you, hey, listen, you're going to get blackmailed. You're going to wind up naked in a hotel room with your hands bound behind your back with sketchy video about it. Don't mess with organized crime.
It's like Scared Straight, just the NFL version. Yeah. Like anytime the Alphabet Boys come into the building, you get a little nervous. And so, like I said, gambling is like the last thing on your mind in the middle of the game. And even if you know, you're going to the Pro Bowl, like, at the Pro Bowl, guys distinctly were just trying to make sure they didn't get
survive.
Hurt. And they like Peyton Manning brought us together as a group, because at that time the Pro Bowl was getting bad. Like the actual playability of the game was getting worse and worse each year. And so this year in the 2013 Pro Bowl, we're gonna fix that, and we're gonna go hard, and we're gonna play it the right way. We're gonna give the people a good show. And there was a handful of guys that bought into that. I remember Gerald McCoy coming off the ball, you know, 1,000 miles an hour. I think he was, like, in his second year in the league at that time. And then, like, I remember Jean-Pierre Paul going at Thomas from the Browns. Like, them two going at each other. Joe Thomas, because they were beefing with each other throughout that season. And so they actually were going hard. But everybody else was like, man, y'all need to slow y'all ass down. Like you're going to mess around and get hurt out here. Because there's no – you know, it's not like your contract afterwards is going to say, oh, well, since you got her to the Pro Bowl, we're going to still pay you X amount of bonus if you're not able to play, you know, for this upcoming season.
Did the money mean anything? The difference in the winners and losers share?
It meant that the money that you spent on plane tickets for everybody, it might not necessarily go into your pocket. Like, if you won the game, you know, you didn't have to dip into your pockets because you paid for 10 family members or 15 family members' flights and hotels to go out there. But it wasn't anything – like, if – maybe if they made the dollar amounts like $1 million if you win and $100,000 if you lose or something like that, then I think guys would go a little harder. I think they're going to go a bit harder. But the spread was like $80,000 if you win, $40,000 if you lose. That wasn't
John
enough
McClain,
to kind of move the needle.
John McClain's presented to you by Horn Solutions. Coming up next, some departures from OTAs around the league that might mean a little bit more than ones around the Houston Texans. Also, Real Sports on HBO took on Deshaun Watson last night. We'll catch you up to speed on all of that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
John McClain joins us for his weekly visit, presented by Horn Solutions. Sean Pendergast is out for a few days, so Wade Smith is filling in for Sean, and I'm just me, plain old Seth. John, we talked earlier about how Malik Collins and Laremy Tunsil were out. We don't know exactly why, but it's probably not that big a deal in the grand scheme of things. Feels like there are a couple other absences around the league that are definitely bigger deals. I think the most notable one of those might be Kyler Murray with the Arizona Cardinals. What are you making of the Kyler Murray situation right about now?
Seth and Wade, I was talking to a friend of mine in that organization the other day, and he said, well, he didn't show up for many last year. He worked out in Dallas. But now it's about money, and everybody knows it's about money. And players can say they're going to hold out. Their agents can say they're going to hold out. And when you guys played, you could. And the team would say, okay, if you come in, we'll drop the fines. They can't do that anymore based on this last CBA, and it's $40,000 a day. That's why Watson showed up when he was supposed to show up last year, even though his agent had told the Texans no way he's showing up, and he had told David Culley there was no way he would show up because he wanted to avoid the fines. So we had what you kind of call it a hold in. Dwayne Brown did that till Seattle tweaked his contract. He came in, was injured. Remember when Jalen Ramsey wanted out? Oh, his back was hurting or his hamstring. So I'm guessing Kyler Murray's not going to get fined $40,000 a day, that he'll come in and either play or be hurt. It seems like, and you guys would know this with because you played, how hard would it be if you were unhappy with your contract and if you stay away? You know, agents used to say, don't have contact with anybody. You don't want to be tempted to come in. If you're going to hold out, you know, disappear. Don't talk to your teammates, your coaches, nobody. Well, today, if you have to come in, how hard would it have been to be there and your teammates are going out and working, trying to do everything to win? You think it'd be hard for Murray and these other guys if they report so they don't get fined, but they have these mysterious injuries? How hard would that be?
I think it would be hard if you actually wanted to stay at the franchise that you're at. Like in a lot of the examples that you gave, like Deshaun and Jalen Ramsey, those guys were wanting out. They wanted to leave. And so it wasn't hard for them because they were just like, hey, y'all want me here, I'm going to be here. But you know, I don't want to be here, but you're not going to find me either. So it's going to be, I'm going to make it uncomfortable. It is for you, for me, as it is for you, or you for as for me. So that's why I'm going to be here. But at the same time, it's not going to bother me too much because I'm trying to get out of here anyway. I think it might've been harder for maybe Dwayne because he wasn't really trying to get out of there. He wanted to be there and he wanted to practice, but he just wanted to be paid what he felt like he was worth. I think Kyler is with a quarterback. You talking about a guy that a quarterback is literally the catalyst for everything on your team. And if your quarterback is not happy, if your quarterback is not in the fold, that permeates to everybody on the team. That isn't necessarily the case if Malik Collins isn't here for a day, or, you know, if Wade Smith misses a day of OTA, it doesn't make any difference in the grand scheme of things. But Kyler Murray, that does matter. And so
They
got to figure that out as far as the organization. Like, what do we need to do to either move on from him or make him happy to where you can start building on what you've done to this point? Because you're not getting better being away from the facility, especially if you're a quarterback. Like, quarterbacks, they got a new receiver. It was the Hollywood Brown, came from Baltimore. Now, I don't know if they're doing workouts on their own, but you would want him to be there to work with that guy to get a relationship, especially since DeAndre Hopkins is going to miss the first six games. So they got some issues down there in Arizona that they got to work through.
Yeah, and that's John, honestly, when you said that Kyler Murray wasn't there for a lot of the OTAs last year, I feel like maybe I heard that at some point but didn't think much of it. But now in this context, in thinking about him as a young quarterback not being there for OTAs and not being there for workouts, that's a little bit of a red flag for me. And I wonder if I wonder how the Cardinals perhaps feel exactly about Kyler Murray and his contract demands and whether he's worth it, just based on a guy like that who should be in the position of just being there all the time and being the guy that beats everybody else into the building and out of the building, even in the off season. Are there people with raised eyebrows or with raised eyebrows about it last year when he wasn't around?
I don't think so, because he made it clear what he was doing, and he did come in when he would come in when he needed to. Isn't it interesting the way he's doing this compared to Lamar Jackson, where they want to sign Lamar Jackson to an extension, but he doesn't want an extension? I got a question. I'm glad I got you guys here because you're former players. We hear all the time, distraction, distraction, distraction. Is something like this with Murray not being there and it being written, broadcast, talk shows talking about it constantly, social media, when y'all were playing, was something like that a distraction, or did y'all just let it go in one ear and out the other when you were at work?
I think a lot of it depends on, obviously, what distraction level are we talking. And then the other is just the leadership on the team and in the locker room. And I think the biggest example of this that I kind of have secondhand knowledge of would be from Kyle Brady. Is a guy that I played with, but he was in New England the year after Spygate, you know, so he wasn't on the team and involved in any of it when it happened, but he got there after it happened. So he saw that year after where the Patriots just went on a tear, and I asked him about it. I saw him in the off season. I said, so what was that like? You know, like, how did you guys handle that? And he said, honestly, the leadership on that team was so strong that I never would have even known it was a thing. Like, it was each position had guys that were veteran leaders and like keep guys focused, and it just wasn't a distraction at all. So I think there's other teams where it's not that tight and they end up, it ends up getting to guys. I think that, like, the teams that I were on that were good, the distractions tended to come more from guys, so many guys wanting new contracts. The kind of that disease of me that they talk about in basketball, where all of a sudden you have some success and all of a sudden everybody wants to get paid. And that ended up being a distraction. But I don't know, Wade, did you, was Arian's veganism ever a big distraction for you guys?
No, not really. This is the thing though, like the whole idea of distractions, like, a guy not being there, if you have, like you mentioned it when you were talking about it just a minute ago, if you have a lot of guys that are pros, those pros, those type of guys on there, you're going to figure out a way to refocus and adjust to whatever and adapt to whatever situation is put in front of you and figure out a way of, all right, I'm just going to imagine right now, you know, for instance, Kyler Murray is not here. We're going to imagine this is what it's like when Kyler gets hurt, if he gets hurt. We actually had a situation in the last couple of years where he's been hurt, and we didn't play well when he wasn't here when he was hurt, and it cost us. We didn't make it to the playoffs. So now while I'm in these OTAs and this mini camp, he's not here, I'm going to view this is how it's going to be. If this happens coming up next year or this next season, this is how we're going to handle it. Because I don't think there's any other quarterbacks on the roster with Arizona that's like Kyler Murray. None of the guys are like him. So you got to have to redirect and refocus of how you do things and how you adjust and how, okay, that this quarterback's drop is going to be deeper or shorter than what Kyler's is. This guy's not going to run around. He's going to stay in the pocket. So I need to make sure I'm handling my business in a certain way accordingly to that and adjust to that. If you have a lot of pros on your team, that's how they'll handle it. If you have guys on your team that it will, because there's always distractions, but if you don't have enough guys that know how to handle distractions and keep guys focused, then it will cause issues with guys on the team and it will have a lasting effect throughout the season. I think with Arizona, you know, they got some guys that are some pros there, but they also, you know, they got some young guys there too. To me, if I'm an offensive lineman, it's difficult for you to simulate any other quarterback except for Kyler Murray because they're night and day. So it's going to be tougher on those guys, but if they look at it the right way, they could take it as an opportunity to make the best out of it and simulate if this to happen towards the year. And that's something that, like, if you're talking about like here in Houston, like Nick Caserio, his whole deal is being able to adjust and adapt and whatever. There's going to be so many scenarios that can come up and being able to seamlessly move into that situation. If you're on this team, if you're a Houston Texan, you have to be one of those type of guys or you're not going to be around. If you're stagnant, if you're, hey, I have to have it this way and that's the only way I can be successful, those guys end up getting themselves weeded out when you have programs like here in Houston.
John, Real Sports covered the Deshaun Watson case last night. Were you able to watch it?
I did, and because I've read the lawsuit so much, there was nothing that I hadn't read. But seeing it and listening to it shines a new light on it than actually just reading the words. And, you know, it's all about when Goodell, when his investigator makes a recommendation, and she says no penalty, then there's no penalty. And if she says, I recommend this, then it can be appealed to him or someone he appoints. And I just can't imagine they're not going to recommend some kind of suspension. It's just a matter of how much.
John, let me ask you this. If she recommends, hey, I think he should be suspended X amount of games because he broke COVID protocols, would she be able to do that? Or is her deal only like, did he have misconduct? Like, is she investigating, talking about Lisa Friel, is she investigating just the sexual actual misconduct aspect of it? Or is that Goodell's deal where he's like, hey, anything COVID related or anything protocol related, that's my deal and I can handle. Like, how does that part work?
That all works with her. She takes everything into consideration. Okay. And she'd say, I think he should be suspended for a season. And then you appeal it, and appeal may go, oh, boy, we got TV to worry about. We got all these ratings in the playoff race to worry about. The Browns being in the playoffs is great for the league. So we're going to knock it down to well, there's no more half, keep saying half, to 8 games, something like that. And I think that everything he does and they do, the court of public opinion and how it affects the NFL or how they perceive it affects the NFL absolutely counts.
John, there's one exchange that I'll play here that I thought, like, I'm with you. It's different when you see some things that you've seen in transcript form than, you know, actually spoken in real form. It does affect you. But one of the plaintiffs that spoke to Real Sports was Kyla Hayes. And I thought this was a really good example of being able to see both sides of the story, because Rusty Harden has put out a few texts that would seem to put the plaintiffs in a bad light when they had texted afterwards with Deshaun. And Kyla Hayes kind of explained her side of it here. Here's her talking to Soledad O'Brien.
In response to these claims, Watson's legal team has challenged the accuser's credibility, pointing out that some, including Kyla Hayes, remained in contact with Watson for months after the alleged assaults, in some cases even discussing possible follow-up appointments.
People will look at your interaction after what you're saying was an assault and say, how could it be an assault? Here she is texting with him.
I wasn't sure what he was capable of. He could have physically assaulted me. He could have bashed my business. So I had to protect myself and my business the best way I saw fit. Did I ever see him again after that? No. Did I give him the runaround? Yes.
John, I just felt like that exchange kind of struck to the heart of why these cases are so hard to evaluate and either try or make decisions on, that both arguments have some validity to it.
I think so, and that goes to credibility, because most people can't imagine if something happened to you that you believe is so profound that you would still do that. I mean, it's not like we're talking about a high-profile football player, the most high-profile in our city, and it just makes you think, and if it ends up in court and the civil suits, it could be perceived, it's kind of a lack of credibility to me when I hear that. And he's innocent until he's proven guilty, and they deserve to be heard. They filed the civil suits. Now, a few of them have gone public. They've gone public before. We've had a lot of stories. The Chronicle has had a lot of stories over the last 16 months talking to the plaintiffs and them telling their side of the tale. But everybody just wants it to be over. And it's not fair to the Browns. The Browns fans, if they don't get this done, I know they'd love to have it over by the start of camp so they'd know where they are, but at least during camp so they have time to prepare, because I can't imagine there's anybody out there right now who thinks he's going to be the quarterback when they begin regular season, including the TV people who put him December 4th against the Texans.
John McClain, thanks for coming in. You got anything to promote this week?
No, I'm just doing a lot of tweets that I had observations yesterday, and I'll be back in tomorrow night with Mark and John, and I'll be at our remote on Friday. And Seth and Wade, great seeing you guys as always. Thank you very much. It's always an honor.
Thank you, John. And coming up next, Wade and I are going to evaluate Jeremy Pena's acting chops as he takes over the mantle from Carlos Correa in the HEB commercials.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.